We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church. I hope you are ready to receive the Word of God. Are you ready to receive the Word today? All right. Marshall is, and I just believe y'all are just being quiet on me. All right. You are in a brand new sermon series today. We love brand new sermon series around here, and this one is called All Things New. Can you say All Things New? Don't you just love that old car smell? I don't know how many times I've said that, right? Haven't you said that? I love it when I hear the countdown on December 31st. 3, 2, 1. And I'm like, Happy Old Year! No, is that not true? Of course, you've heard that 40 is the old 20, right? 60 is the old 40. And I've even heard that orange is the old black. We've all heard this before, right? No, of course not at all, right? Why? Because we are not all that attracted to old. Old does not excite us, but we are attracted to the new. And if you don't agree with that, there is something in you when a new phone comes out. You look at your old phone like, I don't even like this phone anymore. There's a new phone, a new computer, a new car. All these things come out, right? We're all attracted to new over old. I want you to remember this the next time you hear, hey, is that a new dress? If they don't think it's new, if they think it's an old dress, nobody's asking you that, right? Think about this. The next one, next time you hear somebody brag, I just bought a new car. I just got a new car. And look at the excitement in their eyes. And that's when you say, oh, praise God, I've got a really old one. I've got a real. No one says that. All right. Think about this the next time somebody says, I'm starting a new job. It's going to be great, right? People are hardwired to be attracted to. You agree with that? Say amen if you agree with it. All right, good. God also is really into new things. Can I tell you some scripture that tells us this? God's into new things. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. That's anybody that is in Christ. If you are in Christ, new comes. In fact, when you come into Christ, you have to become new. You cannot hold on to the old. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you come into Jesus Christ, the new has to come, and you have to let the old go away. There are some people that talk about turning over a new leaf. That's not what Jesus Christ does for us. Turning over a new leaf is just like starting again. No, he does so much more for us than that. He makes us brand new creatures. That means drug addicts, when they find Jesus, they aren't just turning over a new leaf. They are a brand new creation. Alcoholics are a brand new creation. Whatever your hang-up was, you become a brand new person. Am I the only one that's excited about that in the house today? No. Clap your hands if you're excited about it. Is that all right? Church, it doesn't work to just say, no, you're not the only one that's. No, be excited. Allow yourself to be excited, okay? Does that make sense? In John chapter 3, Jesus tells us about a new birth. Jesus replied, John 3:3, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Verse 4, how can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked Jesus. Nicodemus didn't understand, did he? Jesus gives a brand new birth that does away with the old. He's looking at himself going, all this oldness, I'm an old person. How am I going to enter in into my mother's womb and be born again? Newsflash, the old is done away with. New birth comes. Revelation chapter 21:4 says this, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What's another word for passed away? It's dead, y'all. It's gone. It's in a grave. It's no longer going to pick its head up and mess with you. It is dead. A new thing has come. A new order of things. Okay? For the old order has passed away. Revelation, the next verse, verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I am making everything new. Revelation 21 is an exciting chapter where Jesus Christ makes everything brand new. And he puts to death all the old pattern of this world. That you will he puts away funerals. You will never have another funeral. He puts away divorce. You'll never have another divorce. He puts away betrayal. You'll never have another betrayal. He wipes away those tears because you'll never have those tears again. He takes away all your pain because all the old order of things is gone. Now, here's the deal. Here's what I find so weird about church, because people walk in saying they've lived out in the world all the time going, I just need a new thing. I need a new thing. I need a new thing. And you come into church and the pastor says, I got something brand new for you. And you go, I don't know. That old thing looked really good. I think I might want to hold on to that all of a sudden. Let me tell you, you don't want to hold on to these old things. Jesus Christ is going to put them to death once and for all, and that is a good thing. If you are holding on to the old, you're holding on to the worst. When you are embracing the new that Jesus brings, that's when you receive the best. Say amen if you believe it. Somebody shout, all things new. He says, I am making everything new. If you are into new things, I've got great news for you. God is going to make all things new. If you're looking for something new today, you need to look to God. I want to tell you that Jesus brings us new things. There are many scriptures in the gospel where people marveled at Jesus. When they marvel at Jesus, they usually say something a little bit like this. We have never seen anybody do the things he has done. Raise your hand if you've seen that in the Bible. Yeah, absolutely. We have never seen anyone who's done the things he has done. They also say this. We have never heard anyone speak with such authority and knowledge of the scriptures. We've heard plenty of Pharisees speak. We've heard plenty of people who called themselves a Messiah speak. But this guy, he is unlike any other that we've heard. He's got an authority and a power we've never heard before. You may also hear this. Those closest, his disciples, said of him, what kind of man is this? That's what they said. What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Can we break that down? In other words, when people saw Jesus, they saw something brand new that they had never seen before. When people heard Jesus, they heard something brand new that they'd never heard before. When they were near Jesus, they felt something inside of them that no one else had ever caused them to feel. Am I in a church that's how you would describe your relationship with Jesus? That this Jesus has done things that no one else could do, that he has said things to you that no one else could say, and he's caused you to feel things that no one else could ever cause you to feel. I don't know about you, church, but my whole life has turned around because of the new things that Jesus Christ has given me. And if I get a little too excited, you're just going to have to deal with it, because it saved me. I was headed towards depression. I was headed towards suicide. But at the age of 8 years old, I walked into a church and Jesus Christ made me feel new about myself. He gave me a new hope. He gave me a new start. Everything was new when I found Jesus Christ. Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Jesus brings us new things. And they don't cost you anything, but they cost him everything. Do you understand how difficult it is to bring something new that no one else has ever experienced before? I want you to think about that for a second. How difficult it is for someone to do something brand new, all right? Let's just bring it to you in certain ways, right? You watch those like reality TV shows that are all about talent, and have you ever seen somebody show up on the first time you see them, they just blew you away? It was like, whoa, that's amazing. I can't wait to see what they do next time. The next time they show up, it doesn't blow you away as much. You know why? Because it is really hard to bring something brand new. You see this also in music all the time. Somebody's debut album blows you away. And you're like, whoa, every song on the Jagged Little Pill album by Alanis Morissette blew people away. I know I'm dating myself, but hey, it's a little ironic, don't you think? All right. She blew the the whole world away with that album, and everybody was waiting for her next album. I'll wait for you to name a song off of her second album. You see, it's really hard to bring something new to the table. Are you following me? It's really, look at somebody say, it's hard to bring something new. And that caused the wise King Solomon to say this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. If you allow me, I'm going to paraphrase what I think that wise King Solomon meant. He said, people are all the same. People are all the same. You meet somebody, you got good feelings about them, but you just get ready. People are all the same. They tell us the latest celebrity is the greatest of all time, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. That's such a funny phrase in our vernacular today. This person is the GOAT. They're the greatest of all time. That is for about 5 minutes until they tell us the next celebrity is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Do you follow me? You've seen this, right? You know this. He's saying stuff like this. You know what? They never change. You know what? The people that failed you in the past, these new people, they're going to fail you the same because there's nothing new under the sun. How about this one? Once a fill in the blank, always a fill in the blank. That's what the king is saying. He's saying like this. Every politician says they're going to fix the problems of the previous politician. But you just watch because the next politician's going to say the same thing. And then the next, you know what? We're already ramped up for 2020, right? And that's going to be the message. Man, you just elect me because I'm going to fix all the problems that are in Washington. Well, you just wait 4 more years because that's going to be the slogan of the next guy and the next. You've lived long enough to see this pattern, right? Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun. They promise to change, but we know it's only a matter of time before they fall back into their old habit. These are the things I think the king is saying. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. I remember studying jazz in college, and they have a class called jazz improvisation. It was such a challenging, inspirational class. I remember one of the first days of this class, the instructor played his trumpet over some jazz changes, and he played it. And my goodness, he played it. He tore it up. Everybody had their jaw on the floor. People were recording it because it was astounding. It was amazing. And everybody in there was challenged to be as good as that. And we knew we were going to have to work really hard to even kind of be better like that. It was enough to make some people never want to play again. Let me just put down my instrument and kindly walk out of the room. It was just so good. Are you following me? Yeah. Then I remember the instructor said something that caught everyone by surprise. He looked down at his trumpet and he looked up and he said, I didn't play anything new. And just let it be silent. We're like, that wasn't new? That sounded pretty new to me. It was new to me. He said this, everything I played was something I played before or some other musician had played before. And then he went over. He said, you remember this lick right here? Miles Davis played that lick. He played that lick all the time. I can take you to several recordings of his where he played that lick. And this chord outline I played right here, that's John Coltrane all over the place. He played that all the time. And his message was this, it's awfully hard to play something new. In fact, if you want to master anything, it's not about mastering something new. It's about mastering everything that's been done. If you want to be a jazz master, then you learn about all the previous jazz masters and be able to do what they did, all right? You following me? Do we understand how difficult, how rare it is to actually experience something new? It caused King Solomon to cynically say, there is nothing new under the sun. There was not much hope in that. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. There's nothing new under the sun. But can I tell you something about King Solomon? He had never seen Jesus. Because my Jesus, he truly does new things. Jesus was beaten with the cat of nine tails whip. He was beaten at least 39 times, but he never uttered a word. I would tell you, that's pretty new, and I dare you to find somebody in history that did that, because that thing was designed to make you squeal. That was designed to make you confess that you did a crime, even if you didn't do a crime. But he was beaten mercilessly with that cat of nine tails whip, and he did not say a word, and the people noticed. That's pretty new. Jesus hung on a cross, and he hung on a cross where his hands and feet were nailed with a huge spike right through the center of them. And while he was hung there, he prayed for the very people who put him there. That's what our Jesus did. Is that pretty new? Are you going to see that just anywhere? You're going to see that nowhere but in Jesus Christ. Jesus died. Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again. Can I tell you that Jesus brings us new things? Nobody brings us the things that he does. Solomon said, what has been will be again. Let me tell you, you're wrong, King, because there will never be another Jesus. There will never be someone else that does what he does. There's no one else that's going to show up and have the power of him. Solomon said, what has been done will be done again. Sorry, King, there will never be another who did what Jesus Christ did. No one will ever be able to match what he did on the cross. No one ever will be able to do that. Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. King, you would speak differently if you could have experienced the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ makes all things new. He makes everything new. In a world that rarely sees anything new, he walked and talked and lived newness with every breath. You look at the people that hung around Jesus, they became brand new people. Absolutely every single one of them. Is anybody in here a witness of that? That when you ran into Jesus, when you were around Jesus, it made you a brand new person. And the risen Christ spoke to his disciples and told them to wait in Jerusalem for something brand new. In Acts chapter 1 verse 4, he told them to wait for the promise of the Father. Give me another word for the promise of the Father. It is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you this. We're going to be hanging out here for a while over the next 4 weeks. Jesus does something new in Acts chapter 2. Can you look at somebody and say that for them? Jesus does something new in Acts chapter 2. Over the course of this sermon series, I want to reveal four new things that Jesus gives us in Acts chapter 2. So let's quickly lay the foundation for the whole series. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. What exactly happens? Read along with me. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3 and 4. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Was this new? This was new, you think? Oh, absolutely. These people were born again, just like Jesus commanded in John chapter 3. Who agrees? They were born again. And this had never happened before. It was absolutely brand new. Can I tell you something? When Jesus tells you wait for something new, something lame is not going to show up. When you read in the Bible and it tells you to do thus and so, you better get a hold of thus and so, because there's going to be powerful blessing about it. How many have obeyed God and been disappointed at the end? Never. He's never let me down. Every time I've obeyed him, he has blown my socks off with the results. Amen? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in what? In tongues. Can we say tongues without getting the creeps? They spoke in other tongues. They're people that have problem with tongues. It's in your Bible. Don't have trouble with tongues. It's a new thing that Jesus gave you. Has he ever given you anything lame or worthless? Who gave us these tongues? Jesus did, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're done with that topic. It's something you want. I don't care what a previous minister told you or a previous denomination told you. There are denominations out there right now that say if you speak in tongues, that's of the devil. Say what now? Oh, my goodness, you're calling new? You're calling of the devil the new thing Jesus would give you? I'm telling you, if you are of that, if you have felt that in your life, you need to reject it. You need to walk away from it. I want to tell you that Jesus has new things, and sometimes you aren't comfortable with those new things, but child of God, they are new, and they are wonderful, and when you get a hold of them, you'll be like, my goodness, I needed this all along. My goodness. Say amen if that sounds new to you. The chapter goes on to tell us that these spirit-filled believers then spilled out into the street where there were many people who then had a new experience with this new thing. And they began to ask questions like, what is this all about? A few of them made fun of them. That happens. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, did something new. He does something new right here that had never been done before. See if you know what it is. Acts 2 and 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. Verse 15, going all the way through 18. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days. Somebody said last days. Guess what? You are living in the last days. We've been in the last days for a while. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The new thing is a good thing. The new thing is a God thing. Then he explains what's going on. There's this new happening, and he explains it. And then he tells him the source of this new thing. It's not enough just to experience the new thing. You got to go right to the source of the new thing. It's not enough to be in a church service where the Holy Spirit is flowing. You got to go right to the source of the new thing and receive it yourself. This new thing, Jesus, according to John the Baptist, he said, the one following after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and the fire. If you want this Holy Ghost and the fire, you've got to go to the one who is the source of it. He's the one that baptizes you with it. Are you following me? It's not enough just to be in a church service. It's not enough to be around your praying grandmother. You got to go right to the source, and the source is Jesus Christ. And if you go right to him, he will give you this brand new thing. He will be the one that baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and the fire. We are looking on. Jesus is the source of this new thing that's being poured out. Acts 2, verse 22, fellow Israelites, still Peter talking, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. Notice that no one stops Peter here and says, no, we've never heard of this Jesus. He puts out a challenge. You've heard about this. You've heard about this Jesus, accredited by God to do to you by miracles, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He just puts it right on him. You know this thing, and nobody stopped him and said, well, I don't know it, because they knew it. Let me tell you, when Jesus shows up, people know it. So they all know this thing. We didn't know how he had healed. No one says that. We didn't know that he had healed blind people. No one said that. We didn't know that he had raised people from the dead. No one says this because everyone had heard of Jesus and what he had done. The amazing things he did were undeniable. Yet, there was more they needed to know. Redemption, do you know about this Jesus? Have you heard about the miracles? Have you heard about the wonders? Have you heard about the signs? That's awesome. I'm so glad you know about it. But there is still more that you need to know. You got to know more than Bible stories. You got to know more than what Jesus did in the Gospels. There is more for you to know. So what is it? Acts chapter 2, verse 23. This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. He's getting real personal right now. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Jesus was given to you, and you helped put Jesus to death on the cross. Peter charges these people with the death of Jesus Christ. Heavy. This is a heavy sermon right here by Peter, right? Do you realize that you and I are also responsible for the death of Jesus Christ? You're living in the year 2019, but your sin is why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Peter, if he were here, he would preach you the same sermon, and he wouldn't back off one bit. That you helped him. You helped other evil men put Jesus Christ to death. Do you realize that you and I are responsible for his death? Do you know that it is our wickedness that hung him on a cross? It was our sin, the things you have done wrong, the things that you are doing wrong, even the things that you might be sitting in church right now, but you have plans to do something wrong later. All those things. Jesus went to the cross for those things of yours. Do you realize this? Moving on, verse 24, Acts 2. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. I want to tell you that Jesus was raised from the dead by God. This Jesus that you and I crucified is Lord and Messiah. Let me put that in just plain English. He is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. He is the only one that there is hope. He is the only one that there is a future. He is the only one that could do this new thing. The only one. Jesus, the only one who could redeem us and make things right, we crucified. Can you say, we crucified him? We crucified him. It's so easy to sit in our generation and act like, oh, those people. I've actually heard people blame the death of Jesus on the Jews, and they become racist anti-Semites over it. And then the Jews say, it wasn't us, it was the Romans. Or, no, it was us. It was for our sins that he went to the cross. In light of this bad news that we killed the only one that is the source of hope, in light of this bad news, could anyone use some good news? I want to tell you, Jesus does something new in Acts chapter 2. This is a brand new thing. It had never happened before. Here it is. Peter preached the gospel. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel means good news. The good news that Jesus Christ has come, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. This had never been preached before. Not ever. Jesus is walking around on the earth healing people, but no one ever preached the saving message that Jesus Christ died for them yet. This is the first place that it happens. It happens in Acts chapter 2, this brand new powerful thing of the gospel is set loose on the earth. The good news is that Jesus has come, that he died, was buried, yet rose again. Never preached before. This message, never heard before. It's new, and it's big. And it changes everything. Do you understand this? That this is a momentous occasion. That these people heard this knowledge from an unlearned fisherman, and it knocked them into next Tuesday. It absolutely changed everything about their world. I think the world, there is part of the problem. People are just used to another sermon, and it's just the same old sermon. It's the same old thing. Let me tell you, there is nothing old about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it's new every time you hear it. It's brand new. It does brand new things every time you hear it. It gives me brand new joy every time I preach it. It's brand new. It's brand new. It's big. It's momentous. It's everything. And what follows the message is just as important. What follows the gospel is just as new. Here's what happens. Acts 2. 37. When the people heard this, what'd they hear? The message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the people heard this, they were, say it with me, cut to the heart. Have you ever been cut to the heart? Have you ever heard the word of God and it just went right to the source of your heart and it made you feel guilty for what you had done, for what you had said, for what you weren't doing? Have you ever felt that? These people felt this. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, say this sentence with me, brothers, what shall we do? These people heard the message of Jesus Christ, and it was brand new. But this moment is just as new, and it's what everything leads to. If we don't have this moment, then we don't have a completed new birth experience. If we don't have this moment, Acts 2 is just another day. This is what changed everything. They asked, what shall we do? Here's what happened. They heard the message of Jesus, and they believed it. They believed it. And you might just go, some big revelation that is. No, that's everything. To hear this message and believe it is what it is all about. How do you know they believed it? They asked, what do we do about this? What do we killed the Messiah. What do we do about that? What, God brought his son into the earth and he's the only hope for us and we walked away from him. What can we do about this? Yeah, they believed it. They heard the message and they believed it. They were convicted about it. They felt it in their hearts and they asked what they needed to do about it. Let me tell you, if you've been in this church and you have been feeling that thing about a word of God was preached and you said, what do I need to do about it? That was the Holy Ghost. That was the work of God in your life and you need to respond that moment. Don't say, well, you know what? I'll do something about it next week. Don't you dare do it. Can somebody give me a big amen on that? I mean, come on. If you are in that moment, you need to ask right now, what do we do? They didn't email Peter later. They didn't invite him out to coffee later that week. They interrupted him right then. Said, excuse me, sir, Peter, what do we do about this? Can I tell you that the word of God is preached here, but where the power of God flows is when somebody believes it and they start asking, what do I do about it? And that's what this altar is about. That's why we invite you to this altar. We invite you to this altar because you've heard the word, you've believed the word, and now it's time for you to do something about it. That's where the power is. You need something new? I want to tell you, you got to believe the message of Jesus. You got to believe it. When Peter stood up and delivered the simple message of Jesus, it created an opportunity to believe the message. It was new. It was the first time ever. New people believed in God before this moment, didn't they? Did people believe in God before this moment? Well, yeah. Did people believe in the word of God before this moment? Yeah. Did people believe in prophets and miracles before this moment? Yeah. But believing the message of Jesus, absolutely new. And the outcome is unlike any other in the Bible before it. It is different than when people believed Elijah. It is different than when Moses lifted up his rod and the water split. No, this saved people. This ripped people out of hell. This saved people and filled them with the Spirit. What's in this message? Here's what's in this message. You are a sinner. You got to get over that. You are a sinner, and so am I. Raise your hand if you're a sinner in this house. In a few moments, we're going to open up this altar for all sinners. If you are not a sinner, I expect you not to come. Here's what's in the message. You are a sinner. Here's what's also in the message. Jesus died on a cross, was buried, but rose again. Died on a cross, buried, but rose again. Here's the next thing. Even though you are a sinner, you are loved by Jesus, and he did all of this to redeem you. That is the gospel. And you've got to believe it. And when you believe it, you then ask, what do we do about this? Belief is the first step into new. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk to you about other steps into new. But today, we are just focusing on this one step, believe. Believe. When you hear the gospel of Jesus, you believe the gospel of Jesus, and you receive the gospel of Jesus. You got to hear it, believe it, and receive it. And ultimately, when you're hearing, believing, and receiving, you're not just believing a doctrine. You're not just joining a church. You are actually receiving Jesus Christ himself, the very Jesus that was on the cross. You are receiving him as your Lord and as your Savior. When you believe this message, when you hear this message and you pay attention to it, you are actually receiving him as that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Do you understand what I'm saying? You aren't receiving a pastor and you aren't receiving a church membership. You are receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no substitute for that. When you hear the gospel of Jesus and when you believe the gospel of Jesus, you also receive eternal life. Who likes eternal life in this house? Anybody want to keep living? Every cell in your body right now is fighting and struggling and working to keep living. Isn't it true? Well, guess what? Jesus Christ gives you eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Say it. Whoever has the Son has what? Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. You have what? Eternal life. Can I tell you something? There is so much new for you after believing. But can I just joyfully tell you right now that the moment you believe is the moment you have the Son. The moment you believe is the moment you have the Son. No, I'm sure. I've just got a drug problem, and I'm going to go through rehab. And when I come out of rehab, then I'm going to have the Son. No. It's not about you getting your act together. It's about you believing, and the moment you believe, you have the Son. How many know that's some good news? Because I've never actually gotten my act together, but I've got the Son. I've never actually gotten everything right, but I've got eternal life. Hallelujah. My goodness. The moment you believe is the moment you have the Son. The moment you have the Son is the moment you have life, and the life that Jesus gives is eternal life. When does this say you have eternal life? Somewhere in the future? I've always loved this about this verse. No, it's past tense. You have it already. The moment you believed, you have it. Who has eternal life in this place? You have eternal life in this place. You need to live with that kind of joy. You need to worship the Lord with that kind of faith that you have eternal life. Good luck, devil. Good luck. I've got eternal life. I've got the Son. You didn't beat the Son. You're not going to beat his life. That life's inside of me. Good luck. Good luck. Somebody say, good luck, devil. We're about to come to this altar. You can have eternal life right now. Here's the question. Do you believe? Do you believe? Let me ask you this. Are you having trouble believing in Jesus? That's okay if you're having trouble believing. I want to tell you, I want you to believe in Jesus. And here's a few things I'm not asking you to do today. I'm not asking you to believe in a religion or denomination. When we're talking about believing the gospel of Jesus, it's not about believing a denomination. I would amen that if I were sitting right there. Amen, Pastor Chris. It's not about a denomination, and it's not about a religion. It's about a Savior. Amen. I'm not asking you to believe in a religion, okay? All right? Even if you're in this place going, I don't know. I don't even know if I trust these people. That's okay. You don't have to trust me. Trust Jesus. Can you do that? All right. Cool. I promise you, He is trustworthy. Here's another thing I'm not asking you to believe in. I don't want you to freak out on this. Nobody get their stuff and leave. I'm not asking you to believe every story in the Bible yet. There's some people that, you know, I would believe, but, you know, I just don't understand this story about Jonah. I just don't know how could Jonah be in the well, in the belly of a fish for 3 days? How could he survive that? And they're like, what? They are struggling with this story that's in the Bible instead of receiving the center of what it's all about anyway. The Lord Jesus Christ. If there's a story in the Bible you're having trouble with, it's not time to think about that. I want you to think about this Jesus Christ. I want you to think about what He can do and the power that's in this gospel message. Is that fair? Somebody say amen if that's fair.
Amen.
I am asking you to believe in Jesus. Believe the message about Him, and all those other things are going to work itself out. Believe that He really died for you. Believe that He can save you. On this day in Acts chapter
2.
On this day in Acts chapter what?
Two.
Y'all stay with me. The Spirit was given, and Jesus was preached, and how many knows how many souls were added to the church that day? 3,000 were saved that day. How many were saved that day?
3,000.
My goodness, that must have been an amazing sermon series.
Wow.
No, he preached Jesus. I guarantee you he didn't have notes. They didn't have a choir. They didn't have a cool, hip facility like this with lights. No, they just preached Jesus. And how many people were added to the Lord's body that day?
3,000.
3,000 were saved. 3,000 people received Christ. The message about Jesus they received, and it saved them that day. Can I tell you, the power of God is just as strong today. It can save thousands at a time. If you're in this place and you've never believed before, the same power is available to you today, and it can save you today. Now, we're almost 2,000 years removed from Acts chapter 2. You realize this, right? That was almost 2,000 years ago, somewhere around 33 AD, somewhere around there, give or take a year or two or three, somewhere around there. That's where that happened. We're getting close to 2,000 years from that. So guess what? Preacher, that's not new. That's old. It's 2,000 years old. 2,000 years is pretty old. But I want to tell you, that when this same message is preached and believed, brand new things happen. Brand new things happen. 2,000 years ago, that's just a number. What He does is not a number. You can't base it on oldness. What He does is He brings brand new life into you. He brings brand new hope in you. He makes you a brand new creation. I'm about to invite you to take a step from your seat and come talk to God. I'm going to challenge you to do that today in your belief. I want you to know that there is a brand new joy here waiting for you today, that there is a brand new peace, a brand new hope, a brand new power, a brand new calling and purpose. It's right here because Jesus Christ is right here. All you have to do is believe this simple message that was preached to you today. If you believe it, I want you to come and see what He will do in your life next. Why don't you come right now? I'm going to start praying for you. If you want special prayer in this place, you come in the first 2 feet of this stage, and that lets us know we're going to pray for you. That lets us know you want prayer, and we're going to pray for you. Come on and walk in belief. Some of you have believed but never declared it. Some of you have never believed before. Today's your day. Come on, come and believe this simple message. message of Jesus. Don't let other things keep you from believing this simple truth about Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone in the room, everyone watching, listening online, Lord, that they would come to you and that they would come in belief, that they would believe the truth of Jesus Christ, that they would believe that he died for them on the cross because they are a sinner.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.